Hey guys, welcome back to another edition of Interview Thursday. Today we've got our special guest, Ryan Elrod. That's right, the 34-year-old Cirque du Soleil performer from Orlando, Florida. He's also the fifth place qualifier out of the Atlantic Regional, going to the CrossFit Games for his first time ever. We talk about Cirque du Soleil. We talk about his introduction to CrossFit, his kind of experience at the regionals, and what he's looking forward to most about going to Madison, Wisconsin for the CrossFit Games. But guys, go check us out on Facebook, The Big Red Express. Subscribe on iTunes. That's the best way you're going to get every single one of our interviews leading up to the CrossFit Games with all the top CrossFit athletes that we've got coming up. So you guys will not want to miss out. You can get our podcast on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, or on Podomatic, as well on iTunes. Just subscribe, rate, and review. And as well, if you guys want to get your very own Big Red Express baseball t-shirt, we are going to be doing an order of those probably towards the end of June. So make sure you guys get your orders in. If you guys want to have an order or have a t-shirt made for you, let me know. Message me on Instagram, big_red_express, or just shoot me an email, robbie@bigredexpresspodcast.com. But here's my conversation with Ryan Elrod. Enjoy. Hey guys, welcome back to the Big Red Express. On the phone now with CrossFit Games qualifier Ryan Elrod. Ryan, first off, congratulations on qualifying for the CrossFit Games.
Thank you very much.
So how's it feel? Have you been able to soak it up? Obviously, it just happened just a few days ago. Have you been able to soak it all in and kind of figure out that, hey, I'm going to the games?
It's still pretty surreal, actually. And to be honest, I haven't even made my way back into the gym yet to do a workout because I'm still kind of waiting to wake up. But yeah, I'm just enjoying it, you know. Been hanging out with my family and, you know, receiving a bunch of phone calls and texts and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, I can't believe it, man. It's pretty crazy.
So this was your second time at regionals. Last year you placed 13th. This year you placed 5th, obviously qualifying. And you look back at kind of last year's regionals compared to this year's regionals. Last year you finished first in the regional, Nate, which was the strict muscle-ups and the strict handstand push-ups and all that stuff. You are a body weight specialist, you could say. How has that been? And we'll talk about your Cirque du Soleil a little bit later, but how, when you went into this regional, you know, seeing that there's no barbells involved, what were your first thoughts when the workouts were announced?
I was excited. I mean, I always get excited about, you know, when the workouts come out, regardless of if it's a strength or weakness. It's just cool to tackle something, you know, that everyone's going to tackle together. So that's always cool. But, yeah, I guess when, you know, as the workouts started to come out and like 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and there's no barbell, I'm like, well, what's going on? Is it a joke? Is it a trick? Is there a hidden like number 7,
right,
you know, maybe for the top 10? I wasn't sure. You know, it's not that I don't like barbells. Barbells is just a weakness for me. So, I mean, when regionals came out and there was no barbell, which is one of my weaknesses, it's just, for me, it was a plus, you know. And it, obviously I'm excited, and my coach Justin Kotler is besides himself, you know, and he's like, dude, we can do some damage this year. You're healthy this year.
Right.
There's no 405 deadlift, which was a killer for me last year.
Right.
You know, I still had things to concentrate and practice on. Like, I'm not the best on the assault bike. I'm not the best runner. So there's definitely still, you know, things that I had to, you know, pay attention and buckle down and work hard for. But, yeah, to answer your question, when no barbell came out, I was pretty stoked.
You were the oldest athlete in the region, competing against,
that,
you know, some of the young guns. And, you know, obviously being 34, you're 1 year, next year you'll be able to qualify for that new Masters division that they have. But going in as a, you know, you didn't look like an older athlete compared to all those other athletes out there, but going in as an athlete that may be, you know, 5, 6, 7, sometimes even 10 plus years older than some of the top athletes, how is that going in? And when you think about your training and stuff like that, how is that, you know, being a little bit older than these young guns that are out there?
Well, I didn't really notice or take notice that I was actually the oldest until the announcer said it 2-3 times a day every day.
Right.
So then I really started hitting me like, oh yeah, I guess I am, you know, 10 years older than everyone else. But I don't know. I mean, my training is probably a little bit different than theirs. You know, I train with Cassidy Lance, so obviously the intensity is high and
definitely
the rivalry is there between us. I probably just train maybe a little bit less volume than some of the younger guys, like just, you know, having a little bit older joints and knees and backs. And, you know, I also have a job where I perform in the circus. I probably just train a little less. I have to be a little smarter in my training. And I think that myself and Justin Kotler, my coach, we attack it in a way that makes sense for me. I can't go out every day and do 2-a-days and, you know, a couple hours in the morning and then a couple hours in the evening.
Right.
Lifting, and I just don't have the time, nor I just don't think I would be able to hold up, you know, doing that anymore. But so I just have to be smart with my training. And then again, training with Cassidy is like, even if my training is 1 hour or 2 hours, it's intense, you know, because I don't want to let her beat me, and at the same time, she doesn't want me to beat her.
Definitely.
And so it's good to go back and forth with her, and it's good to, you know, be in that gym and be with her as well.
You look at the past 2 years. Last year, you know, you had the experience of the big stage at regionals, competing against some of the best. You know, last year you were competing against the defending champion in Ben Smith. This year, you went head to head with him in workout number 5. How was that? How cool has it been to be able to compete against? And obviously, you compete with Cassidy, so, and you train with her, so you kind of get that big stage atmosphere all the time when you're training. But how cool is it being on the big stage, competing at some of the fittest men on earth, like a Ben Smith, like a Noah Olsen?
It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's hard to like explain what it feels like, but I guess if anyone out there that, you know, even if you go to 1 hour CrossFit class a day and it's just a recreational thing for you, and then you see these people on TV like Noah and Ben and Aaron Hanna's, you know. Then when you see him in real life and you compete against him, you're kind of starstruck, just
right,
as anyone would be. And I still get that way, you know. And, you know, we're hugging and high-fiving before and after the workouts and chatting and poking fun. And then when I step back and look at it, I'm like, man, you know, I'm like hanging out and working out and competing with and even beating some of these guys that, like, I look up to, and just the huge names. And, it makes you kind of starstruck in a sense, you know, and you're like, man, it's just super cool. Like, I can't really explain the feeling,
right,
but anyone who's met anyone that they follow on social media or like a celebrity and you see him in real life and you're kind of like, oh hey there. Hi. You know,
right.
It's kind of that feeling, I would say.
How did you get into CrossFit? I know you do Cirque du Soleil and we'll talk about that in just a little bit, but how did you get into CrossFit? Your first year in the Open was 2014. Where you play 77th in the Southeast, which isn't bad for your first year kind of competing in the Open. How did you kind of get introduced to CrossFit, and how did it become something that you became very competitive in?
Well, my wife and I, we moved to Orlando, Florida from Las Vegas. We were both performing in Cirque du Soleil.
Okay.
We had an opportunity here to move to Orlando, so we did. And in Vegas, we were going to Las Vegas Athletic Club, just, you know, like a Globo gym, just to keep in shape in the mornings. So when we moved here, you know, we were kind of scouting the area we were at. We were looking for a gym. I think we signed up for LA Fitness.
Right.
And then it was about a 10-minute drive from my house. So every time I would drive to LA Fitness and back in the morning, I was passing this big, ginormous blow-up kettlebell. And I could see like some weights and stuff bent through the window, and it was a CrossFit gym. And I'm like, what is that? Like, why am I driving past the gym to go to the gym?
Right.
So I stopped by one day, just walked in, and saw like a couple guys working out. I think it was an open gym, and I didn't really understand what it was yet, but they were doing like pull-ups and bench press. And I was like, oh, okay. That looks better than, you know, and then maybe I don't have to drive as far. So I kind of just signed up. It was a little bit more expensive than LA Fitness, but I was able to get my wife and I both in, you know, on like a deal and on a trial.
Right.
And we both kind of just fell in love with it. She's an ex-gymnast as well.
Awesome.
And she's looking, you know, to stay in shape too. So we loved it. You know, we started doing jump ropes and pull-ups and, you know, ring dips, and she can do a muscle up. And everyone was like, oh my God, that's incredible. Until they watched us like try to deadlift or clean and jerk. And they're like, oh my God, you guys are terrible. So that's kind of just where it came from. And then, you know, we just met some cool people, like the CrossFit community, as everybody knows, and we just stayed. So
you're a Cirque du Soleil performer. How is that, you know, with your schedule, being able, you know, having to do that, and then being able to train and stuff like that? You just mentioned that you don't train as often as maybe, you know, the young guns were, just because you're a little bit older. But how is it, you know, performing for Cirque du Soleil and, you know, training as well? And then tell us how you got into Cirque du Soleil.
Well, I'll go with the training question first. So we perform 10 shows a week. It's we work 5 days a week, 2 shows every night.
Wow.
And then we're off on Sundays and Mondays. Yeah, it ends up being about 478 shows a year.
Holy moly.
So with that being said, like, our show is very act specific. And what that means is, like, I do trampoline.
Uh-huh.
So I'm, you know, kind of in the background for some other parts of the show. But then when trampoline comes on, I only do trampoline. And it's actually tramp wall, which is where you bounce off your back on the trampoline and run up a wall.
Right.
The training for that is, we have a mandatory training on the first day back every week, which is our Tuesday. So we go in and we have a 1 hour mandatory training just to kind of get back on our, you know, back in the groove of the show. And if there's anyone's going to do anything new, or we're going to talk about, you know, the sequence or the routine that we're going to do, and everyone's on the same page, then we do a run through, and then we have optional trainings, throughout the week. If somebody like falls all the time, then they need to kind of, you know, dial it in a little bit more,
right,
or they want to try to incorporate a new trick into the show, kind of stuff like that. And then as far as just our like fitness training, we have our own, kind of like a gym. It's our training room. And we have weights and dumbbells and boxes and plyo and all sorts of stuff that we can either make up on our own, or, you know, try to challenge other people to do. And people take advantage of that as well. So,
How did you kind of figure out that maybe Cirque du Soleil was something that you'd be interested in? You mentioned that you were in Vegas doing it. It's obviously been a big part of your life, met your wife through performing. How did you kind of get into it? I think a lot of people would be interested, including myself.
Okay. My joining Cirque du Soleil story is actually pretty far out there. I was coaching gymnastics at a gym called WOGA. It's in Plano, Texas. It's where some Nastia Liukin came from, some of the other Olympic champions came from. So I'm coaching gymnastics there, and it's been a few years, and it's a year-round thing. So finally I decide, like, I'm going to go visit one of my friends. He lives in L.A. I'm taking 3 days off, and I'm just out of here. Like, I've been stressed with these kids, and I'm out. So 3 days vacation is coming up. I go and I get on the plane, and I'm flying from where I'm at in Dallas to L.A. And the guy that I was going to stay with in L.A. calls me. Literally, I'm on the plane and the door is closing, and he calls me. He says, hey, man, I just broke up with my girlfriend, and I'm actually on my way back to Dallas. And I was like, what? I'm on the plane. I'm coming right now.
Right.
And you're driving home? And he's like, yeah, I'm already like in Arizona, man. I'm sorry. And that, so, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going. I'm staying on the plane. And I went and I landed in LA and I cabbed to the closest beach, which I think was like Santa Monica. I couldn't even remember right now.
Right.
And I go there and I'm just like sitting on the beach with my backpack. And I'm like, I'm just going to figure out what to do for the next 3 days. I don't have much money, so I can't stay in a hotel for 3 whole days on the beach. And that first night I actually decide, like, I'm going to sleep on the beach, which is illegal, I know, and I'm sorry for anyone that's listening that's mad, but I make myself a little like hole in the sand, and I'm kind of like propped up and sleeping, and it starts raining. Yeah, I'm like, crap. So I go and I'm like, I'm gonna have to spend the $300 and find a hotel on the beach, and that was all my money at the time. So
right.
One night in the hotel, next morning I wake up and I've got this buddy whose also name is Ryan. We grew up doing gymnastics together. And he's in Cirque du Soleil in Las Vegas. So I called him and said, hey, man, I'm in L.A. for 2 days. Can I come stay with you in Vegas for 2 days and just I'll fly home from there? So I bus over, and he was super excited to come see me, that I was coming to see him. So without me knowing, he gets me an onstage audition with this with the coach of the show that he was at.
Okay.
He was at the Love Show in Las Vegas. So I show up thinking I'm just going to hang out and chill out with him. And the next thing I know, I'm jumping trampoline on a Cirque du Soleil stage in a closed private audition for the Love Show.
Oh, dang.
And I mean, now, when I say I was like coaching gymnastics before that, like that's like 3 to 4 years of just standing in a gym wearing a warm-up suit. So I wasn't
right.
in the best shape. I had maybe a little bit of a belly, like a skinny person's fat belly, you know?
Yeah.
And so the coach told me that he goes, you know, I can see that you have some skill, but you're a little out of shape. Why don't you go home, get into shape, and if something opens up, we'll see what you look like at that time. So I went back home, not thinking anything of it. Coach gymnastics, I actually did start working out a little bit, and I got a call out of the blue saying, hey, we have a contract for you. If you're interested, you want to come join the Love Show in Cirque du Soleil. And I was just kind of like, yeah, whatever. I got nothing to lose. So I did it. And then 8 years later, here we are.
Wow. Now, is it, you know, you just said that it's close to 400 and something shows a year, you know, two shows a night. For,
right.
you know, 5 times a week. How is that just, you know, on your body, on, you know, your training? And does that affect the way that when you go into the gym, some of the things that you do in the gym, maybe you're, you know, not as able to do some of the things? Are you able to kind of balance it out?
Yeah, I mean, at first it's a shock to the system, you know. But what I can kind of give you a little secret is that what you see, like if anyone sees a Cirque du Soleil show or, and it looks really awesome and those guys are so crazy, what they're doing, I mean, those guys are like really high level performers. What they're doing, like for example, for me, I jump trampoline with a team of six, like 4 of the 6 of them are all like Olympic trampolinists.
Oh, wow.
So what they are capable of doing is super high skill. And so they're doing about like 75% skill-wise of what they can do.
Right.
So they kind of toned it down, but just like added the second person or the third person effect or the, you know, the lighting effect or the musical effect that Cirque is well known for and the costuming, which makes it, you know, that much better. But skill-wise, I mean, not for me. I'm a terrible trampolinist, and I don't know how they let me on this team. However, for these guys, you know, they've kind of toned it down a little bit. So for them, the skills are easy, but you're right. Over and over again, it becomes a little like it starts to break you down a little bit. That's why we've got great physical therapists. We've got, you know, mandatory conditioning that they have to do and just stuff like that.
Do you think that, you know, being in Cirque du Soleil, performing in front of crowds all the time, helps you when you go to a CrossFit competition? You're going to be competing in front of thousands and thousands of people like you will be at the games, like you are at regionals?
I think it's similar. What I can explain is like, so when I'm performing on stage and I see the audience and they're clapping or laughing, I can laugh and, you know, kind of join them, you know, and it's very fun.
Right.
And you can joke around and play with the audience. And then the difference is like when I like, so on the regional floor, when I'm competing, I hear the crowd, I hear them yelling, I hear the intensity of like the cheering, and it makes me want to turn up my intensity, you know, almost like oh, I don't want to let them down, but they're pushing me to a level of like, I can go to that, you know, extra spot. I can go a little bit more. I can do it one more time. I don't need to rest that long. You know, so you play off of what you see. Like, so on stage, you see them having fun. I have fun. When I hear the intensity of the crowd going, it makes me be more intense.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It definitely does. And I think it's a lot of people. But, you know, I look at that question. We're talking to Ryan Elrod right here, the fifth place out of the Atlantic Regional. Ryan, not only do you do CrossFit, but you were actually involved in the Grid League. How was that? And you're obviously a bodyweight specialist. You know, I was looking on your profile. It says you can do 50 handstand pushups in 40 seconds. You know, how has the Grid kind of, you know, made it possible for you to kind of get better and really focus on the things that you're very good at in terms of on the competition floor?
I mean, Grid and CrossFit are as much as it's so similar, it's so completely different.
Right.
I enjoy both, really. You know, I love both. I think of them as two different sports where I can take my fitness and abilities and bring what I got to the table, you know? Obviously with grit, it's more of like, imagine like an indoor soccer or hockey match where you can sub and you can play to your strengths, which is really cool. And a lot of strategy comes into play. And then CrossFit, you know, it's such a more all around type thing where you can't really have holes in your game.
You gotta be good at everything.
You know, yeah, you gotta be good at everything. And then it comes down to, you know, the luck of, what the programming comes out, or, you know, maybe you were like a triathlete and you're like a super awesome runner, but you're not as strong at lifting, you know? So, I think CrossFit is more of an all around type thing for me. Because I probably have more holes in my game than I would like to. Whereas grid is like, I can do what I do, you know, like I grew up in gymnastics and I can do that on grid. And be a strength to whatever team I'm a part of. Luckily, it's the BC Brawlers, the best team ever. But, you know, so, yeah, I think that's kind of the difference. And I enjoy both equally. I wouldn't say I have one more that's more favorite than the other.
Talk to us about kind of what you were looking in. And obviously, you just said that, you know, you haven't really soaked it in yet. But if there's one thing or one person that you're excited to kind of compete against, or one thing that you're excited about for the games, what do you think that's going to be? It's your first time. It's obviously not in LA anymore. It's for the first time ever going to be in Wisconsin. So I think for the first time ever, you know, all athletes are on the same playing field in terms of not knowing what's coming.
That's true. Yeah. I'm sure Dave Castro has got some, you know, some cool things planned, whether it be like a freezing cold lake swim or, you know, I don't know, maybe a mountain bike path. I'm not sure. I, to be honest, I don't know that I've ever even been up to Wisconsin to, be able to tell you what it's like. So, I couldn't guess, nor do I even want to guess. I just want to really literally enjoy from tomorrow when I get back into the gym on with, you know, training and the path and the experience. As far as going to the games, I mean, it's so incredible to me to be able to get to go head to head, you know, with like a Matt Frazier and to watch what Noah's going to do this year and Travis, you know, like, Ben Smith. Like, I mean, how can you like not get excited when you say big names like that?
Right.
And I get to be next to them, you know, wearing my Elrod stuff and trying to, you know, trying to beat those guys while at the same time representing the five of us from the Southeast, but still trying to beat them all. And you know, going and seeing, like, I think Chris Spieler accepted, you know, the Masters. So
definitely
going to hang out with him. I think my buddy Con Porter is going to come down and hang out with us. So I'm excited to go see him. I don't get to see him often.
Awesome.
You know? So just to be with the, I mean, and I could name everyone, you know, but just the community, you know, that's the whole, just to be with everyone, not just the athletes, but the fans and everyone. Man, it's just going to be so awesome.
Ryan, last thing before we let you go, where can people find you if they want to kind of get in touch with you, if they want more information about kind of you or just in general, and then, how can they go see you if they're down in Orlando?
So if anyone comes to Orlando, anyone comes to Disney World, Orlando, they want to bring their kids, whatever. We are in Disney Springs. It used to be called Downtown Disney. It's now called Disney Springs. I don't know why they changed the name, but, it's a humongous white Cirque du Soleil tent. You can't miss it. If anyone is coming, please reach out to me. I have an Instagram. I will start being better at social media, I promise. But I have an Instagram and I do try to respond. If you want to direct message me, let me know you're coming down, who you are. I will make every effort to, come out and meet you, try to help you with whatever you need around here. And this is the last year of Lanuba, the Cirque du Soleil show here called Lanuba. This is the last year of it. It's closing at the end of the year.
Okay.
So if anyone, so if you do want to come see it, I recommend coming this year. And, if anyone wants to reach out, please, Instagram is the way to go. We can email back and forth, but reach out on Instagram and I'll respond.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, thanks so much for taking some time and chatting with us.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Good luck, and we'll see you in Madison.
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, thanks, man. Huge thank you to Ryan Elrod for coming on the podcast and chatting about just his journey, his Cirque du Soleil performancing, and so much more. Guys, if you are in Orlando, go check out La Nuba. at Disney Springs. It's the last year that that show is going to be up and running. So make sure you guys go check him out and let him know you're going to be in town. I'm sure he'd love to chat with you for a little bit. But guys, if you guys are interested in buying a big Red Express baseball t-shirt, they are a unisex size, so anyone can buy them. Just let me know. If you want to see a picture of them, go check it out on Instagram at big_red_express. And then shoot us a message on there or email me your size. We're going to put an order in at the end of the month of June. So, and I'll kind of get back in touch with you on how you can pay, since we're going to need that money before we order the shirts. So, guys, thanks so much. We will talk to you guys later. Next week, we got Travis Williams coming up on the podcast for Interview Thursday. All CrossFit Games athletes leading up to the games. All that and more coming up on the Big Red Express. Have a great week, guys.